Okay, microphone isn't an option, so I'm just gonna talk loud if everyone can help me out. I'll just be quiet. A couple people still coming. There's no way to get a mic. No. Okay, cool. So we're gonna start with just a little contemplation, not necessarily a meditation. You can keep your eyes open if you want. Yes. There's some. The power went to the projector, and but they're gonna try. And so, if you want to close your eyes, you can. If you don't want. Everyone get a visual picture of your own physical body, and ask yourself the question: you know, is this me? Am I my body? And look back over your life, you know, at your own body and your relationship with your own body. Has it been a good and loyal friend to you? You know, has it served you? And think about your body as a separate person almost. Not necessarily connected to who I am, who, you know, Mercedes is. And then if we ask ourselves, you know, am I my body, as we were in class the other day, you know, we say no, right? We say no. So then what is my body? If I'm not my body, then what is my body? Where did it come from? What's sustaining it? What is it made from? How do I keep that body going? And, you know, Geshe-la yesterday said, I think he said, the end is hard, the separation is hard, the attachment to the body is hard to break. So, how attached are we to our bodies is our identification of who we are. And just for a moment, like, imagine, you know, saying goodbye to your body. Like, in some beautiful medieval time when they dressed the body in the most beautiful clothes and surrounded it with flowers and put it on a beautiful boat and pushed it out onto a lake. See your own body separate from yourself and watch your body moving away from you. And thank it for everything that it did for you, everything that it gave you. Like a loyal attendant, like a loyal friend who just served you and served you. Okay, so you can open up your eyes. You know, Geshe said yesterday, if we recognize the beautiful gift we have of having a body, and we recognize that the body, in essence, isn't us. We think of it as a wonderful instrument that's been loaned to us for a short period of time. And if we want to use this body, right, if we have this potential with this body to possibly get enlightened with this body, then we have a responsibility to keep it functioning well, to keep it working well, to do everything that we can to keep it healthy and alive and filled with energy. So why are we focusing on the body in a gross way? Like, why are we going to talk about organs and flushing and apparent, you know, causes of health, right? Because what's the cause behind the cause, right? Like, what's the true cause for health and vitality and beauty? You know, we've been reviewing it in class, and you know, it's pretty obvious. It's caring for others. It's serving others. It's being concerned about the health and the vitality of other people. So the true cause of health is caring for others. But I'm gonna tell you a little joke. Maybe you guys know it already. There was a very religious man, and he was praying in his house, and a big rainstorm happened, like a terrible rainstorm, and it started to flood. And, you know, everyone in the town was starting to get a little bit nervous because the floods were coming, and I know a lot of you know the joke, but there was a lot of panic all around him, and somebody, you know, knocked on his door, you know, pounded on his door, and it's some guy in a big Hummer, and he's like, look, I'll get you out of here. You know, I know the streets are really, you know, high with water, but my Hummer can get through it. Let's get out of town. And he's like, no, I'm going to pray to God. God is going to take care of me. So he goes back and he's praying to God, and it's raining and it's thundering and it's getting really bad. And then he has to go, you know, up into the attic, right? Because it's raining so bad. And he's hanging out the window, and some guy shows by, and he's in a boat, and he's waving. He's like, you know, Jerome, you know, come on, get in the boat. And he's like, I can get you out of here. He's like, no, God's gonna save me. God's going to take care of me. Don't you worry. I'm going to be okay. So the rains keep coming, and he climbs up, you know, onto the attic, and he's praying, God, you know, please come save me. And a helicopter comes by, and they throw him a rope, and they say, come on, because, you know, the water levels are rising. And he's like, I'm okay. God's going to save me. I'm going to be okay. So he dies in the flood, right? And he gets to heaven, and, you know, he walks in, and he meets God, and he's like, what happened? Like, why didn't you save me? And God looks at him and says, I sent you a Hummer, I sent you a boat, and I sent you a helicopter. So, you know, maybe in our path, sometimes things can come to us in a package. And they're not necessarily like you wake up one day and you've got an angel's body, right? Like, for me, I think maybe doing some small amount of good karma, some service somewhere, introduced me to some practices that help rejuvenate and change my physical body. So don't, we're gonna have a willing suspension of disbelief that we have the power ourselves, right? With the tools that we have to make radical physical changes and health changes. Now, I don't know if Rebecca's here. She was really nervous about me talking. So just in case you didn't know, I'm not a doctor. And I have no certifications whatsoever in the conventional world, okay, for conducting any kind of organ flushes, or to speak to you about your health and your well-being. But nonetheless, here I am. We're all here together. There's some reason we're all here together. And all I can tell you is some personal stories. And I have some friends in the audience who have done similar flushes to me. And we're just going to tell you what happened to us, okay? We're just going to speak about the results, and pictures, you know, are worth a thousand words, so I'm going to show you some photos, and then it's really up to you. Now, this is the Hummer. I personally have a great love, for some reason, of cleansing since I was like a teenager. It's been fascinating to me. You know, we were joking earlier about some people want to go out to a movie. I want to, like, not eat for 3 days and eat psyllium husks and then watch like an alien come out of my butt or something like that. I'm really fascinated with the internal body and what can happen, because it seems to me to be some great unlocked beautiful potential for self-healing, right? And I think, you know, instinctually, you know, all of us are here because something didn't really work in how they told us reality worked. And I would extend that to... Is Michael Moore in the room? Okay. I would, you know, no offense to any doctors in the room. And medicine, you know, has healed me many, many times. And if you have the karma to be healed by a good doctor or by a medicine, you can access it. And you take aspirin and it works. Something since I was a child told me something about the system wasn't right in terms of healthcare, what was being provided for me medically, sickness and aging and death in my own family, watching people suffer and die, propelled me to look at some alternative medicines, Chinese medicines, acupuncture, and different people, you know, react to different things differently. And what we're going to do today is really gentle. But it all started for me when I did a vision quest, when I was looking for, like, the meaning of life, you know, before I met Geshe-la, maybe 16 or 17 years ago. And basically I sat in a circle of stones in the desert with no tent and just water. And you just sit and you pray. You just pray for guidance. And somehow there was this connection, which was so deep that I don't even, a lot of it is just instinctual, everything that I'm saying to you, you know, so just come with me as a friend and don't sue me. I'm sorry. But there was some instinctual connection to me between the practice of purifying and fasting with spirituality, and I couldn't really put it together. But that particular vision quest was interesting because all I was allowed to have was water while I prayed for 3 days. And I came out of the, you know, circle of stones in the vision quest, and immediately my guide, you know, had me do enemas. And some really interesting things, you know, came out of me. And I was so overwhelmed and fascinated with what was frankly in the toilet, you know, because there was no, you know, everything had come out that was normal food substance, and then things like golf balls were coming out, which were calcium deposits embedded into my intestines, which eventually would rot and become colon cancer or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, there was such a shock to my system, right, that I thought, I have to explore this deeper. And for some reason, all of the doctors around me didn't have access to this information. So I thought, okay, I have to seek out these special people who maybe know something about these alternative medicines, and maybe I just need to have the karma of serving other people for some ancient, beautiful practices for healing yourself to become available. My dear friend Will Duncan and I did a wonderful yoga teacher training at Mount Madonna, and part of the training was shock karma. And every single day for 30 days at 4 a.m. we got up, and we put a tube down something, or threw up, or drank something, and things came out of us, and we, like, laughed and cried, you know, every single day at what they were putting us through. But by the end of that experience, I became familiar with, you know, my liver, my kidneys, my gallbladder, my spleen, what the bile looked like from those different organs because they had come out of me. And then the most fascinating thing was my own increased energy level. And my clarity, and the beautiful, deep, deep, deep dreams that flooded my system once I cleaned all the toxins out of my body. And I don't know what the connection is, but there's some connection between mind and body there. And what happened to my mental clarity, right? And then, you know, we started touring so heavily that I kind of had to put all this fun, you know, exploration and experimentation on the back burner. And I was traveling, I was flying, and I was eating so many things that I knew that were bad for me. But because of stress, nervousness, just lack of anything else being available, being exhausted, I was funneling foods into my system that I knew were poison, that I knew were poison, and that I knew were bad for me, but I felt really helpless. So a great friend of mine, Ferenc Kalos, I don't know if y'all know Ferenc, came to visit me, and you know, very inspired and kind of wildly showing me photographs of what had come out of his kidneys and his liver in a flush that he had done. And it was kind of a radical, intense 6-day flush. But I kind of got back on track about a year ago and began to do something that I really love deeply, which are doing these kinds of cleanses. And I realized that there was really no excuse for me not to be absolutely fascinated and in love with reaching my potential, you know, and for me, I have some kind of calm, you know, with the inner body, and I mean, you know, literally, not the subtle body, but I mean, you know, like literally what's going on inside, and it's very empowering for those of us who have been debilitated by allergies and different kinds of illnesses, to just entertain the fact that you can take control of your own life. You can take, look at Christine Wallace, it's so great. You can take control of your health, and you can radically change everything with a combination of worldview and taking care of other people, and then seeing the gift that can come to you through some alternative forms of healing. So, I'm going to talk a tiny bit about science, just a tiny bit, and then maybe a little bit about magic, and then I'm going to show you a slideshow, okay? And then I'm going to tell you exactly what we're going to do, okay? And then it'll be done, all in a half an hour. Okay, so what was the first thing? First thing was science. Okay, so the cleanses that Geshe-la witnessed me doing, which I think were somehow entertaining and yet shocking to him on the tours, you know, me running to bathrooms in airplanes, and was the liver and the gallbladder flush, okay? That cleanse is painless, but requires that everyone would have their own toilets, and is a little bit of a leap of faith, and I'll tell you a little bit about what that cleanse entails. And basically, this is a precursor to you all doing that liver flush at home, which I'm asking all of you to do, unless you have some extreme condition, and you all have to read the book so that you understand what that is. I'm highly recommending, I don't know these guys, I'm not getting any commission from them, this book. It's called The Amazing Liver and Gallbladder Flush. It looks kind of New Age hocus pocus, but this, Geshe has called it my Bible because I'm just constantly reading it, fascinated by it. It blew my mind. It absolutely blew my mind. The descriptions, and I think there's something when you just read something and you smell that there's some level of truth inside of it that you resonate with, that it really was really, really powerful for me. And this is the flush that I followed to have the liver and gallbladder cleanse, where all the stones came out of me. Please get this book. I will buy it for you if you can't afford it. Ferenc came over my house and bought it for me. And some of my friends saw what came out of me and immediately ran out and bought the book themselves and did their own flushes. Darcy and Christine Walsh and Anatole can talk to you because they also went through the same flushes as me and were quite amazed, I think, by the results. And if any of all those people seem to have some kind of excited glow about them, there's a reason. We're all flushing heavily. Okay, so now when I described drinking, you know, olive oil and Epsom salts and getting up at 6 a.m. and what was going to come out of your rear end, Rebecca became quite nervous and had visions of ambulances showing up and just anything that could go wrong with that of an extreme of an experience. And they basically nixed it and said I had to come up here with a Western doctor who approved everything that I was saying. And so then we decided to change the program. And what we're going to do is a kidney flush. Now, the kidney flush is also described in this book and exactly how to do it and what you need. And what's beautiful about the kidney flush is kind of like a shoulder stand to a headstand, right? Like if the liver flush is the headstand, the kidney flush is the shoulder stand. Okay, they're going to complement each other. One is sweeter and kind of gentle and has like a calm effect on the body. And the other one is going to possibly lead to immortality. Okay? So the kidney flush is the one that we're going to do here, okay, at this retreat. I just want to review with you medically, because Rebecca asked me to really research that. What are the kidneys and what is the function of the kidneys? Okay? I've had kidney stones. Rebecca's kidney stones. They say kidney stones are more painful than giving birth. And I've never given birth, but I've passed some kidney stones, and it's quite an experience. This flush, you are not going to pass a kidney stone. This flush is absolutely painless. You're going to be drinking some herbal mixture, and I'm going to tell you exactly what's in it. And this herbal mixture, okay, drinking over a course of days, you're going to drink a lot of it, is going to, because the kidneys filter, okay, it's going to pass through the kidneys, and they're going to very gently dissolve the stones that are in the kidneys. As far as I know, you can't do a flush of the kidneys like you do with the liver, where you actually expand the dial box, ducts with Epsom salts and see like huge stones rolling out. The kidney stones have to be approached much more gently. So we're just going to be drinking a lot of this herbal mixture that Miriam has so wonderfully been working with the kitchen staff on, preparing for us. And over the course of the retreat, it's going to just dissolve the waste and the toxins, okay, that have accumulated in your kidneys, tonify the blood, and help them run and do the job that they were meant to do without so much obstruction. In the description, and I meant this, imagine that you're going to work and a couple of guys are like have their hands around your ankles and they're dragging on the floor and you're trying to walk to work and do all the work that you're doing. Okay? When you're kidneys, okay, and your liver and your gallbladder are filled up with stones that accumulate there over time, okay, from pharmaceutical drugs, from alcohol, from sugars, from any kind of toxic substance that you were given from the moment you came out of the womb. They got nowhere to go. They're sitting in there. They're just sitting in there waiting to cause disease, okay? It's as if no one took out the trash in your house for 40 years. Okay? That's what we're going after. And that's frankly what ends up happening when you approach this from your intestines. The same thing is going on in your intestines and you fast and you do enemas and what ends up coming out of you. It smells that way. But the kidney stones do not smell. Okay. So what are the functions? That's your intestines. That's another retreat. Everyone's going to get an enema bag. It's going to be great. Okay. So what are the kidneys? Kidneys are extremely delicate, as Rebecca and I know, extremely delicate blood filtering organs that congest easily because of dehydration, poor diet, stress, and an irregular lifestyle, okay? If you have kidney stones, obviously they eventually move through and pass, and it's extremely painful. But on the way to that process, while they're sitting there, they lead to weight gain, fluid retention, and many causes of different disease, okay? When your organs can't do what they were meant to do, okay, they start doing other things, all right? They start trying to recuperate. When your body can't filter out the toxins because you've got so much garbage in your organs, they're going to start moving the toxins into fat molecules in different parts of your body because they need to store it somewhere because they don't know what to do with it. It's their survival mechanism for you not to poison yourself and die. Okay? So if you're not taking care of your body, and even if you are, frankly, in this modern time, with the amount of preservatives and chemicals that you've been fed since you were children, some radical shift has to happen in health in general to help people. If you're not going to eat an all organic, pure diet, and if you're going to travel like we do, and you just take what comes, right, and you know, transform it and purify it. It's all connected, but on some level, some system has to happen on a continual basis where you're filtering and clearing your body. And even if you take some oath that you're never going to eat an unhealthy thing again, and you're just going to eat organic fruits and vegetables and juice forever, you've got a lot of dirty old karma, like, you know, hanging out in your organs that you've got to get rid of. Okay. Drinking the herbs, okay, can reduce stones. They can also reduce uric acid, oxalic acid, phosphate, and like harmful amino acids. They say that every patient suffering from a chronic illness has an excessive amount of stones somewhere in their body. And again, the kidney flush is a gentle flush that we're going to do, and it is meant to be sandwiched with the liver flush, okay? Now, I wanted to say a couple things about the liver flush because, for me, that's the one that I did where I just saw radical results. I'm just going to tell you real quick in case you don't know what's the function of the liver and a little bit about it. The function of the liver, it's the largest organ in the body. It weighs up to 3 pounds. It's suspended behind the ribs on the upper side, and it actually goes the width of your abdomen, okay? That's how big your liver is. It's the most complex and active organ in the body. I'm just going to tell you what it's in charge of, okay? It's in charge of processing, converting, and distributing and maintaining the body's fuel supply, nutrients, energy. Anything that interferes with the function of the liver is going to have a serious health consequence on the body. It produces proteins and hormones. It obviously affects the way the body functions as a whole, how the body grows, how the body heals. It makes new amino acids and converts the old ones into protein. It breaks down old, worn-out cells. It recycles proteins and iron. It breaks down alcohol, detoxifies toxins in the blood, parasites, bacteria, and certain components of pharmaceutical drugs. It uses special enzymes to convert waste or poisons into substances that can leave the body. The liver filters a quart of blood every minute, okay? And that blood is pumped through your body. Most people, if you have stones, excessive stones in your liver, are on some level suffocating. Okay, your body is suffocating from oxygen because nobody can function properly, so it's not getting what it needs. The liver produces about a quart and a half or a quart of bile, which you need every day, which is sent to all the other organs. Most people are producing about a cup of bile. Okay, so everything is clogged up. It's like a terrible jammed highway. All right, that's all I really need to say about that. Now, what are the results of doing the flush? Okay. If you suffer, okay, from any of the following ailments that I'm still in the science section, okay. If you suffer from any of the following ailments that I'm gonna list for you, it is possible but not guaranteed that doing these flushes, okay, can restore these conditions in your health, okay? Digestive disorders, diarrhea, constipation, hernias, hemorrhoids, dull pain on the right side, difficulty in breathing, hepatitis, high cholesterol, pancreatitis, heart disease, brain disorders, ulcers, nausea and vomiting, depression, impotence, prostate disease, urinary problems, hormonal imbalances, menstrual and menopause disorders, problems with vision, puffy eyes, skin disorders, dizziness and fainting, loss of muscle tone, excessive weight gain, strong shoulder and back pain, pain at the top of the shoulder blade and or between the shoulder blades, dark color under the eyes, morbid complexion, tongue that is glossy or coated in white or yellow, scoliosis, gout, frozen shoulder, stiff neck, asthma, headaches and migraines, tooth and gum problems, yellowness of the eyes and skin, numbness and paralysis of the legs, joint disease, knees problems, osteoporosis, obesity, chronic fatigue, kidney disease, cancer, multiple sclerosis and fibromyalgia, Alzheimer's disease, cold extremities, excessive heat and perspiration in the upper part of the body, excessively greasy hair and hair loss, cuts or wounds that keep bleeding and don't heal, difficulty sleeping, insomnia, nightmares, stiffness of joints and muscles, hot and cold flashes. Okay, science is over. And I want to just say something about magic. Wouldn't it be cool if that was true? Wouldn't it be cool if all of those ailments were something that were not necessary? You know, wouldn't it be great if there was some shift that happened in your reality and you were given some kind of key that those were things that were of the past? And I'm going to tell you one quick story and we're going to go to the slideshow. When I was young enough to believe what people told me, I met a magician in Europe, a really powerful, beautiful, dark and white magician. And he showed me a lot of really kind of magic, wild, crazy things that somehow shocked me into understanding that the world that I was shown wasn't necessarily the whole picture. And that there was a possibility for some other way of living or some other reality to exist at any moment. And he told me a story, and I believed everything he told me. He told me a story about these beautiful clan of druid people, okay? Like fairy kind of. Rob knows. He wanted me to introduce him later in case anyone wants to hear more about them, his ancestry. A beautiful clan of druid people who lived in the forest and underground and in caves. And they weren't human. They had special powers. And in some of the poorer regions in the mountains, if they had a child that they couldn't feed, sometimes they offered them out at night to the fairies. They left them, hoping that the families would take them and care for them. And this happened, you know, and they took a human baby, right, into their family, and they raised the child. And they came back to the humans and told them, no, because the fairies had magical powers, and the fairies could live for like 300 years and do very unusual things. And they came back and they said, we taught that baby everything that we know, and they can do everything we can do. Fine. It's you people's conditioning, right? You have incredible capacity, but maybe no one's shown you that something else is possible. And so we are programmed with a certain kind of belief system, right, of what media and doctors and people have told us our whole lives. So what has to happen for somebody to, you know, break past, you know, as John says, break past a belief barrier and believe that anything is possible, right? So when he told me that story, I believed him. I was like, I want to find those magic people who know how to not die and how to do special things. And he planted some seed in me to be silly enough to think that magic was real and miracles were possible. And it was acceptable to say that I could heal myself. And those conditions that I just listed are not necessarily packaged with how many birthday candles they put on your cake. Okay? You don't necessarily have to get old. First of all, we know that, right? You don't have to die. You don't have to get old. But you don't necessarily have to just wait for weight gain and disease and your body to break down. Maybe it doesn't have to happen in the way that we thought it did. And maybe the combination of the wisdom that we're learning at this retreat and some other kind of experimentation can push us over into being some kind of example of, like, extreme beauty, you know, for the whole world. So I'm going to show you guys a couple slides because I think a picture is worth a thousand words. So can we turn out the lights and go to the slideshow, just the first picture? Okay, these are great. Sorry, is it dark enough in here? I don't know if you can see this. The other pictures are better, I promise. This is a dissected kidney, okay? If you can see, here are the stones. Can you guys see this, okay?
Yeah.
Here are the stones embedded, okay, into the kidney, which are taking up the energy, and the kidney isn't able to do its job properly, isn't able to filter the blood, isn't able to pump your energy. Drinking this tea is very gently going to start to wash these guys away, okay? It's interesting because I had kidney stones, and I also had a lot of stones come in my body, and I cracked them open. The inside is hollow like a crystal, okay? So they're made of organic, toxic, whatever material. So all they need to be, they just really need to be come in contact with the right combination of self-healing herbs that are going to break them down. And they're going to gently, not in big pieces, they're just going to gently break down the flesh out of your body, okay? So what's the next slide? Okay, great. Here's your liver, okay? This is just a drawing of your liver. And here's your gallbladder, okay? Gallbladder stones are filled in most every person's liver, okay? So the gallbladder somehow, like, pumps up all these stones. It gets all trapped in the liver. And this is just a diagram of how many stones are in an average person's liver, okay? Imagine flushing all those out, okay? Imagine how clogged, okay, everything is right now and what it would be like to move those out of your system. So in the flushes, the kidney stone flush you do first and then you do the liver flush. It's very easy. You drink apple juice for like 6 days and you eat regular food. On the last day, you fast. You drink a bunch of Epsom salts, which opens up the bile, it opens up the ducts, okay? The Epsom salt opens up the ducts. Then you drink some, you know, wild thing that's like salad dressing and some olive oil and some grapefruit juice, which causes a spasm in the organs. And I felt it. It was wild. I actually felt it spin and spit it out. It was like so fun. And then they expel, like throwing up. They throw up. They expel it into your intestines, and it comes out, okay, once you've done, like, you do a one-day fast. Okay, so I want to show you some pictures, okay? In general, the first flush, okay, your first liver flush, not a lot of stones come out, just the ones that are at the edges, like clogging things up. But what it does is it moves everybody right to the surface, okay? So in general, they say most people need about 8 flushes to clean out the liver. Anatole did 5, okay? After the 5th one, you stop when the stones stop coming out. That's when you know you're clean. You're clean when you do a flush and no stones come out. Some people maybe need 5, some people need 8, some people maybe need more, depending what's in your system. So I'm going to show you pictures from my first flush, okay? Okay, so these are the stones that came out of me in the first flush. The bright green stones were from the liver because the bile in the liver is bright green. The yellowish stones came out of my gallbladder, and those are more like calcium deposits. Okay, is there another picture of these stones? That's just a close-up on them. I washed them off, made them look... No, not yet. Don't go to that one. Okay, great. Okay, so as you can see in the first one, it's a lot of little stones. Okay, you wait about like a month, do a kidney flush with some herbs in between. I'm going to take questions in 1 minute. The second flush is when you really start taking out the trash. So this was my second flush, which was done in Detroit. So this was the second flush. You can move. Okay. So as you can see, they're much larger. You can go to the next picture. That's my finger. Okay. And I didn't have a strainer for the toilet because I was touring. And the liver float to the top. The liver stones float to the top, and the gall stones go to the bottom. So I couldn't capture any of the gall stones in this particular.
liver flesh. And these are just the liver flesh. Is there another picture?
Maybe one more.
Okay, that's just another shot of that. Usually in about eight flushes, you're passing hundreds, maybe a thousand, okay, up to, the low thousands of stones. They can range from size anywhere to, and these also, I didn't have a strainer, so I just kind of scooped out the big ones. They can range anywhere in size from a pinhead to the size of a walnut, and in a rare case, a golf ball, okay? Totally painlessly passed because of the Epsom salts. They completely widen all the bile ducts. Everything's soft and everything flows out. Ideally, you're hanging out at home and not flying from Detroit to Sofia when you're doing this, but I got to work with what I got. But it's really nice to do this in the comfort of your own home. You can drink the apple juice anywhere for 6 days, and then you do the 1 day fast and end with this. Okay, can we turn back on the lights? Okay, last thing I want to say in closing, and then we'll have, I'm all done with that, so you can turn it off. Last thing I want to say in closing, and then we'll have maybe a little bit of time for questions. How we're going to do the kidney cleanse, okay? And again, it's like the 10 breaths before you meditate, okay? We're just doing a preliminary. The kidney cleanse is a preliminary to the liver flush, which is the real meditation, okay? How we're going to do the kidney cleanse. There is a large pot of herbs, okay? I'll give it to you later. I think I forgot it. One of them is dandelion root, marshmallow root, couple other things. Sorry, I forgot my list. But I can post it and tell you what they are. It's about seven or eight herbs. It was mixed together by Bradford from the herbal store in Tucson, who was supposed to come and do this presentation with me, but he had a last-minute problem with the herb store and had to stay. He prepared it. These herbs are very gentle. They have no harmful side effects, and that's why we picked these herbs. They just tonify the blood and help dissolve the stones in the kidneys. You're going to drink 6 to 8, of those little plastic cups. Thank you. Great, thanks. Your little coffee cups? We were going to get mason pint jars, but somebody forgot to buy them, and then it would have been really clear you were supposed to have drunk, two mason jars full every day. But we're going to say about 6 to 8 coffee cups full of the herbs every day. You have to, soak them overnight and boil them and then simmer them and do all this crazy stuff to it, and she's been working on it, and the first batch is going to be ready at dinner. I think she made a concentrated formula because of the number of people. And what you're going to do is you're going to put about half in your cup, and then there's a hot water dispenser. And it just was because the cooks freaked out because we were taking over the kitchen with 15, brew, witch's brews. And they were you can have one burner. So we made one really big concentrate. And it's in a thermos or something? I'm not sure.
I'll be there.
Okay. Miriam will be there giving you your herbs. You're going to drink these every day until the retreat is over. Okay, if you're going to do this flush, I don't care if you do it, about 70 people signed up, so we got enough for a really potent mix for 70. I think it's fine if everyone else wants to try it, because as you'll see in the book, ideally you want to do this flush for 21 days. Okay, and in the back of the book is places to order the herbs, how to get it. It's really beautiful. His daily websites, you just call in and it's really easy. So this is kind of just a little teaser to really doing these at home yourself. You're going to drink this every day. And while you're drinking the herbs, you're going to abstain from a couple things. No big deal on this retreat. Animal products. No meat. No dairy. Except butter. Butter's okay for some reason. I don't know why. Okay. No meat. No dairy. No fish. No eggs. Try to avoid caffeine, especially, please don't drink coffee, but try to avoid caffeine if you can. Absolutely no alcohol, carbonated beverages, okay? Chocolate, and any food with preservatives or artificial sweeteners or coloring. Now, why? Is because those foods tax the kidneys, and you want your kidney to have an optimal experience. Okay, so the more you can avoid those. Don't freak out if you somebody gives you candy bar and you forget and you eat it. You're not gonna rupture or anything, you know what I mean? But it's just that you'll have a more full experience if you avoid those foods. The herbs that you are drinking are dandelion root. That's a wonderful one. You can buy dandelion root tea. It's a little bit expensive, but it's worth it. It tones the liver and the kidneys. Dandelion root, a little bit of nettle, leaf and root, horsetail, marshmallow root, hydrangea root, and ginger root. Obviously, after you do a cleanse like this, you want to reevaluate your own diet, right? A vegetarian diet is highly recommended in this book. It probably is a cause of a lot more disease than we could even fathom. Avoiding deep fried foods also would be a good thing to try to do during this retreat. And, you know, he gives a long list of ways to change your diet. We don't really have time to get into it. I think a lot of us are on the right track. One thing I want to say, just in case I never see you guys again, get the metal fillings taken out of your mouth. If you have any metal fillings in your mouth, they're poisoning. They're poisoning you. Get them taken out of your mouth, okay? They're causing cancer. They're poisoning your organs. They are illegal in Switzerland because they realized what they were doing to people's bodies. So I was living in Switzerland. I went to see a doctor. I had really bad acne, terrible allergies, migraines, and I was just irritable all the time. And she said, open your mouth. And I had 9 metal fillings. And she was like, you have to get those out immediately. You have mercury poisoning. Because she tested me. Who would know to test you for that when you come in and say, I've got constant migraines, right? I had everything removed, everything cleared up, right? I had that personal experience myself of taking them out and seeing a radical shift in my health. Also, something that's very detrimental to your health, don't eat regular table salt. Get unrefined sea salt, rock salt, whatever. The benefits of that kind of salt on your body is incredibly. Salt is so vital to your body, and your organs desperately need it. And the table salt that is on most tables in restaurants and hotels is poison. Like, it's gone. You've got to get, not travel with salt. It sounds crazy, but, like, those are just two little things, just in case you don't read the book, that really I personally have had some results from. Okay, last thing I'm going to say. Oh, yeah. So, again, you know, willing suspension of disbelief, but the main thing, you know, obviously I want to leave you with is that none of this works at all. You can, like, guzzle table salt and, you know, have a mouthful of nettle and be fine if you're taking care of other people. You know, what the true cause for me, and the reason I think the book showed up, but I think eventually it could be the fact that you could sit at home and, you know, checks would just come in the mail, or you wouldn't have to take the aspirin. I'm in the in-between where I get where the aspirin is coming from, but I'm still going to use it. I understand that the crud in my organs came because I hurt somebody, but wow, I got a book. I'm going to try. I'm going to make that effort to take care of myself. The ultimate cause, the most powerful cause that you have is to take care of your teacher and to take care of your teacher's life. I think there's no more insane, like, forget everything else. Just forget everything else. Like, you've got so little time, and you're in a body that's going to kill you. You know what I mean? We're just, you know, we're all going down. You know what I mean? And so if you have anything to do, if you have any time or any question of what should I do, it's like somehow take care of a teacher's life. Take care of your figure out who your teacher is and take care of them, serve them. Try to give them food. Try to give them things that are healthy for them. Try to serve them. Try to take stress off of them. Anything you could think of that'll increase the energy in your teacher, it's like beyond anything else that you could ever possibly do. So I think that's the main cause. The last thing I want to say is my mom was diagnosed with colon cancer last year, and she's not really open to any of this, so I'm really excited
to just have her share what I learned with someone. But she called me, you know, when she was going through chemo and radiation, and she said, you know, Mercedes, do you have health insurance? Thank you. If you have any questions, Anatole, Christine, and Darcy are all available, and I thought they could tell you about the first flush or anything that they went through, so you can grab them in the next 10 minutes, because then we're in silence. No, you could. I guess you can write questions or email them. But unless there's any burning questions, that's all I have. Yeah.
And I've done dozens of them myself, and basically the vast majority of people do not have a problem with them, but I've always had people sign a separate disclaimer when they did them.
Yeah.
And the reason is that there are some inherent dangers, and I just feel like I need to say that people have both sides.
For kidney? For the herbs?
No, the kidney is perfectly safe, unless you have a reaction to the herb.
Yeah.
When the stones that you're seeing, the large stones, are not hard, they're cholesterol. And so you can take them out of the toilet and press them, and it's like pressing on beeswax.
Yeah.
And they're not a cholesterol problem. It might be discomfort if they start coming down like your holes and getting stuck. You might have to do another flush in a week, not a month. That's not a problem. The only problem is if you have gallstones. And people who happen to be clean, using animal products, hydrogenated oils, dry food, they often have, besides the cholesterol, will have gallstones. And you'll be laying at the bottom of the gallbladder. And if, even though the Epsom salt and the apple juice and everything else helps, and I used to use phosphoric acid, I've been drinking it more, to make it softer and rounder, they can pop up and they will get pushed out with great force. And there is a possibility that this stone will get lodged in your common bile duct. If that happens, the pain is astronomical. You get pancreatitis, you have to have a surgery removed. Not the soft stone, but the hard stone. There's also, and I tell people this too, there's also a very slim chance that if you have a stone that's sharp, and it floats up, and it nicks the common bile duct, you will have internal bleeding. So I just tell people that before they do it, they make decisions. I think I was doing it before the book came out.
Yeah.
I think the book is a really good guide for people, but it's not necessarily for everybody. You know, some people used to come in who had a long life, unhealthy living.
Mm-hmm.
Before I would even work with them with a liver flush, I required that they have an ultrasound to determine what's in your gallbladder.
Yeah, read this book cover to cover before you engage in a liver flush. Okay, read the book cover to cover. There are indication on the back of who, for whom a liver or kidney flush is not recommended. It's clearly listed in here, so please read it. He also, his wife on her ninth flush, there's a picture of a gallstone that came out that was about the size of a golf ball. If you fall, you know, anything could happen. My understanding is, I think doing all those things, consulting a doctor, working with ultrasound, the thing that he's stressing is that they're absolutely painless if you follow the directions to a T. Cecile came to me and was talking to me, and she found a liver flush on the internet. And it was missing one ingredient, which would be Epsom salt.
Oh, right.
Which opens up the... So she drank apple juice, drank like all this olive oil, and then was incredibly sick. Okay, because she didn't open the door. So everything just moved and got clogged up and got stuck. I believe, I'm not sure, I'm not a doctor. I'm just offering something that radically changed, seems to be changing my life. I believe if you follow this and read it from cover to cover, do your own research, but I think instinctually, you know, you've got to just figure out what's going to work best for you. And if you're very frightened and
you know, not really sure about it. Please talk to other people. Please consult other people. It was all the photos that I saw from other people who had done it and that are in this book that really inspired me, and I'm sure that people could come talk to you if they wanted to as well. Yeah. Okay, great. It's good to know. Thank you. Write me if you're in astronomical pain, and don't sue me. Yeah. How does it affect your energy during the flush? For me, it's increased energy because we're eating way more than we need to as a human being. We don't need to consume as much food as we consume. So during the flush, not only are you drinking like 6 to 8 cups of this herbal tea, you also should try to drink a lot of water. I would say at least 4 of these a day. It's going to help the kidneys. Okay, drink a lot of water. Definitely as much, if not more, than you are of the tea. And I think it's really nice to eat light, not like, you know, Pepsi light. Like, eat foods that are not going to be, like, your livers or your kidneys are going to see it coming and say, oh, my God. You know, like, eat foods that are nurturing and try to eat light and try to drink a lot of foods. Hopefully, Geshe can have bathroom breaks at least once every hour, and we can all hold it. Yeah. Oh, the kidney cleanse is fine.
Okay.
Kidney cleanse is fine. The liver flush, there's some things that some people really shouldn't do it. Yeah. Sure, why not? You don't have to. She asked if she has to drink the 6 to 8 cups. Should she try to drink the 6 to 8 cups tonight? Maybe not. Maybe, I don't know. I probably half of that, you know, because that's for a whole day. You're supposed to drink it twice a day, but we started. I wanted to get going because it was supposed to be a 10-day flush, and then we realized I couldn't actually do this until tonight, so now it's a 6.5-day flush.
But we're drinking 2 cups with each meal?
Drink 6 to 8 of those little coffee cups per day anytime you want. Anytime you want. There's going to be a fresh pot out first thing in the morning, which is a nice time to get it into your system before anything else. You know, drink water, drink that. And then there's a brand new batch that's coming in the evenings. In between, I think they're going to just keep putting boiling water in it so you could keep drinking like lesser intensified herbs, but the big batch, the really strong one, I think will be in the morning. You don't have to dilute it if you don't want to. It wouldn't be enough for everybody. Yeah.
You mentioned adding hot water to concentrate. Is it okay to drink cold or anything?
You don't have to. Don't add any sweetener to it. Even if it tastes like Tibetan medicine, just don't add any sweetener to it. And you can dilute it as much as you want. And you can drink it at any temperature except iced. So it can be room temperature, it can be hot. Because it's gonna, the pot's gonna be sitting there for a while, so it probably might be lukewarm sometimes. Yeah. Yeah, it's in your binder. Yeah, I looked it up. Andreas Mortis. I'm really happy you said something. I think also there's always some risk, and you have to be careful. There's also alternatives of, you know, surgery. You know what I mean? Which is extremely painful. You know what I mean? There's consequences. And so I think as much as we can try to do it to the letter, to the instructions. And I think even to have an experience of a painful stone coming out or a crystal, eventually that was going to do something to you. You know what I mean? Which could cause even more pain. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You're young and you're healthy and you're
Sure. Who's highly toxic and extremely obese. Okay, yeah. He doesn't mention that in the book, but I believe you. I believe you. Okay, cool. Anything else? Steph? Yeah.
What do we expect to happen in the 7 days that we're here? Are we going to feel things coming out, or is it just going to set up that kidney for later?
What's going to happen is it's going to be internal. Is that it's just going to gently start to wash, erode the stones that are in there and start to wash it away. Ideally, you want to do this flush for 21 days for you to have the maximum results where it really has the opportunity to completely break down the stones and get them out. I would say
you know, if there was like one hand that released from choking you and you have 100 on you, like you're going to feel some relief in your just overall energy and vitality level, because that's what the kidneys are doing.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Let's just do, I don't want to go, we'll just go, I've got, it's 10 after, so let's just do like maybe two more questions.
Are you going to post these, if you read it again, if the herbs that are in there?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'll just tell you one more time. I'll just, dandelion root, nettle leaf and root, but you know what, in this book is a better list. This is what we could, there's a couple things that are not in here. And from here, they list the herbs. They give you instructions on exactly how to do the kidney flush and where to even order, and we'll send you like a pre-made pack. So if you're going to get the book, which I think you should get, it's got everything in it. But you're welcome to do this. It's not the only thing about it. Okay. Anything else? Yeah. Oh, thank you. Oh, good. Yeah, she said that she... Great. What's your name? Dulce. Dulce. So Dulce is also available to talk to. She said that she bought the book before and did the flushes, and she had an amazing results on her meditation and on her practice, and she just happened to do it on her own. And look at her. She's got that glow. So talk to Dulce as well. Okay, thank you guys so much. Thank you. Good luck.